Hi everyone, and welcome to Rewatchable, episode 147. Today we're going to be talking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer, season 2, episodes 5, Reptile Boy, and 6, Halloween. As always, you can contact us via email at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com, on Twitter at re_watchable, this post on hypeable.com, or any of our Buffy-centric posts, or you can find us on Tumblr at rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. I'm Karen, and today I'm joined by Caitlin, Kristen, and Ariana. Hello, everybody.
Hi.
So we're going to kick off with some fun facts, which we've discovered none of us really put much thought into, but that's totally fine. my fun fact for this week is that I'm currently reading Calamity by Brandon Sanderson, and what? I'm really excited for this, and I'm actually listening to the audiobook. This is the third book in the Steelheart series, and it was really highly anticipated for me this year, so I'm enjoying it so far. There was a couple of moments where I just, like, laughed out loud and felt like a crazy person, but I love those kind of things.
Not fair that you're reading it early.
What? It came out on Tuesday.
No, it comes out this Tuesday.
Does it really?
Yes, it comes out on the 16th.
Oh. Well, I did get an advanced copy, but, like, I
Hashtag humble brag by Karen right there.
Yeah.
I thought I got it the day before it came out last week. Well, that makes everything so much easier. Okay. Anyway, I'm sorry. It's really good, though. All right, who's up next? Caitlin, why don't you go?
Okay, well, I am not reading Calamity, but I will when it comes out.
Sorry.
I am currently reading Glass Sword, the second book in the Red Queen series, which is fun. I'm enjoying that series a lot.
So you recommend that series?
Yeah, it's fun. It's a little different than some of the other stuff. It's got the world is set up where you've got the people with silver blood and they're kind of the rulers and they have these cool powers. And then you've got the people with red blood and they don't have powers. But then the main character has red blood, but she actually has powers, so it's all complicated, and she gets pulled into all this court intrigue and all that, so I quite enjoy it.
Is it, like, more dystopian or more fantasy, would you say?
A fantasy set in a dystopia?
It feels a bit more dystopian to me.
Okay. Because I think that was what was holding me back. I was like, I don't know how I feel about dystopians anymore. But, like, a lot of people on Hypeable seem to really like it, so maybe I should give it a shot.
Give it a shot.
I also recommend. Ariana, what about you? What's your fun fact?
My fun fact is that I'm not reading anything because I don't have, like, the emotional energy to do that right now. But speaking of something that requires no emotional energy at all, I am quite enjoying Shadowhunters, the television series, even though I absolutely hate the Mortal Instruments with every fiber of my being. I am quite enjoying the TV series, probably because the people are so beautiful and I get to just turn my brain off and look at the pretty people talk to each other.
Even I don't like that show, and that's something.
It's fine. It's fine.
The last episode was better. Karen even said that.
I did. Yes. They are very beautiful, though, so yeah. I would definitely give you that.
I think you just have to go in, like, expecting nothing. Like, I don't expect the plot to make sense. I don't expect, like, the creatures to be scary or interesting. I just want to see them talk to each other. I cannot believe, like, Alex's eyes are so gorgeous. I can't, like, look at them properly. Mm-hmm. They're so pretty.
He's a Daddario, so. That's why.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, and Kristen?
Well, I'm going to balance out Ariana's and talk about TV. I've been rewatching Gilmore Girls, and I believe it's in Reptile Boy at the very end that we got a little cameo. Now it's kind of a cameo from Danny Strong, who plays Doyle. He's the guy that, like, shows up and brings her coffee at the very end, and I was like, that's Doyle!
I know!
But with all the yummy, fun Gilmore Girls stuff that's coming up, I've been rewatching, and so I was really excited to see Doyle.
Cool. All right, let's jump right into Reptile Boy then. Synopsis, courtesy of Ariana. In this episode, Buffy is self-conscious about Angel because he's still being so, hello, Zuko here, and she is just 16 and doesn't yet know how to grab Destiny by the balls and demand a coffee date. Cordelia is being a huge dork, per usual, but she still manages to snag them both an invite to the trashiest frat party of the year, in which we get the perfect PSA for why you should never, ever, ever accept a drink from a strange man at a party. Because surprise, he's probably either a giant snake or a gross frat boy, or most likely both. Thanks to Willow's clear head and investigative skills, and the men's flaring testosterone, the gang manages to break in and break up the party, but Buffy's got it covered since she's got abs to match those chains of steel. I just wanted to say, like, and buns of bronze from Hercules. I said it in almost that same voice. So yes, this is all extremely accurate, especially the part about the frat boys. They were really terrible human beings, even without Reptile Boy. So I'm really interested in learning what the newbies think of this episode right off the bat. So Ariana, did you like it?
I didn't hate it.
Glowing endorsement.
I mean, I'm still having, like, a hard time with Buffy, but the next episode did a lot for me. Mm-hmm. But at this episode, I mean, yeah, I didn't hate it. I think I like it less than Shadowhunters.
Wow.
You know, what I really liked in this episode, I thought Cordelia was hilarious because she was such a dork. But yeah, it was good. I mean, frat guys are gross. I think that was the lesson we learned. I already knew that lesson, but I'm glad they're promoting it.
Kristen, how did you feel about this one?
The title and everything just made me think of the Kanema and Jackson. So the fact that we didn't actually see, like, the Reptile Boy until the end, like, it was just a bunch of really gross frat dudes and, yeah, just weirdness. But it was interesting. I don't know. I liked a lot of the stuff that Willow got to do because Buffy wasn't around. Like, she kind of got to take the lead a little bit more, which I love because I love Willow. So, yeah, it was okay.
Reptile Boy, well, I should say the Kanema looks surprisingly like Reptile Boy.
Yeah.
There are a lot of similarities there. Caitlin, where does this fall on your list of favorite episodes?
Doesn't rank. I had actually forgotten what this one was about because I don't ever rewatch it. I always rewatch the one that comes next.
Yes.
But watching it now, the character stuff is significantly better than I remember. And then the monster of the week is, it's a thing that happened.
Yeah, unfortunately. I feel about the same way. I mean, the next episode is usually on people's favorite episode lists, like ranks pretty high. Selena told me it's within her top five. And Reptile Boy, yeah, like Caitlin said, doesn't really rank at all. It's kind of objectively terrible. But I will say, like, the character stuff is really good, especially for Willow, and I really like Giles and Buffy, which we'll get to. But yeah, the Monster of the Week thing, not so great. I didn't, like, hate it as much as I thought I would. I was really not looking forward to this. And a lot like Puppet Show, I left it not liking it like I did Puppet Show, which really turned me around on that episode. But this one I was like, okay, I get why it's in here. It's not just, like, a filler episode. There actually is a lot of development for the characters. So that was interesting. But speaking of development for the characters, or maybe kind of the same thing happening over and over again, Angel and Buffy can't get the crap together. They're having issues with, you know, whether they should actually date or not. And I don't know. Newbies, how are you feeling about this right now? Because Ariana, like you say, you know, they're kind of in this,
so over it.
Yeah, never-ending circle of brood, as you've described it.
I don't know. How do you feel, Kristen? I feel like it's fairly clear how I feel.
I mean, it's not an easy situation, so I get why it's kind of drawn out. Plus, they're teenagers and they're angsty, or at least she is. I can see why it's kind of being drawn out, but at some point we're just going to have to get a screw it, life's not going to get easier, it's not going to change, so we might as well just make out scene. I'm assuming we'll get that coming up here sometime.
I totally 100% understand the issue here because they seem like actual rational human beings versus like most teenage girls who are in love with vampires. She's like, hey, you're a vampire. That's probably not a good idea. He's like, hey, you're 16. That's kind of gross. So those are logical things to be thinking. However, I just wish that they could still, like, since this is a television show, I wish that they could be, like, talking like normal humans to each other. Like, just, like, hanging out, you know? Like, every time they see each other, I wish it didn't have to be this, like, like, romance cover longing. Because it's boring now. It's old. Move on or get on with it. But
I actually really appreciate the fact that we're 5 episodes into season 2 and they're still trying to figure out what they are together and who they are to each other, because so many shows kind of jump in so quickly and then they break up and then they get back together and then there are other complications and they're kind of still in the beginning of their relationship. Like, they're still trying to just figure everything out, and I don't know, that feels kind of different to me. And even though their relationship up until this point has been, I wouldn't say a main focus, but it's been important to Buffy at least, and you know, they keep bringing it up, it's never just about that. It's about so much more, especially when it comes to Buffy. Like, the whole have to save the world as a 16-year-old girl thing is a bigger deal than whether or not she's going to date Angel. So I appreciate that that's been the focus. Caitlin, where do you stand at this point?
I agree with that. I think it's amazing that they are actually rational about the topic. Like, was just said that they're both like, wait a second, maybe this is actually not the best thing for either of us at this point, instead of just going right for it. But it does get a little tedious, but I sort of love how Angel is just so awkward and he can't figure it out, even though he's got like 200 years on her. And he's just as awkward as she is, which is kind of amazing.
Yeah.
I think something that's frustrating for me too is that I just feel like they never super established why they like each other, which, I mean, I know that when you're a teenager, you don't need a reason other than that they're beautiful and perfect, which they both are. But I kind of, like, we never get to see them be, like, happy together. They're always, like, so angsty. And I just would like to see them being, like, having a nice time. Because they haven't really yet.
I mean, that's a good point. That's valid.
Yeah, what is your relationship founded on?
Exactly.
Blood on things.
And we have seen Angel smile, just not while Buffy is anywhere
exactly,
nearby.
Exactly.
All right.
We'll get to that. Don't worry.
Yes. Yes, we will. Ariana, you also mentioned in here, which I completely agree with, that it's super cute how supportive Willow is of Buffy's love life, because she's not jealous. She's really interested. And she's like, oh, you know, I know you're the Slayer and I know he's a vampire and I know it, like, shouldn't work. But oh my gosh, it's so cute anyway. And she's like their biggest shipper at this point. So that's really nice to see on television, you know, two women who, I mean, clearly Angel is a very good looking guy, but Willow is like, that's not her thing.
Well, I really appreciate that. It would be so easy for Willow to be jealous of Buffy, especially because, like, Xander is so obsessed with her and she loves Xander. But, like, we never see that. Willow never blames Buffy for, you know, Xander's behavior, or she doesn't. She, like, is. Buffy gets all this attention from boys, including college frat boys, but it doesn't. It's like, it's okay for Willow. She doesn't push anything onto Buffy. She's, like, still thinks of her as her friend, which I thought was nice. She's very secure in herself.
On a scale of 1 to 10, Kristen, how much do you love Willow?
I mean, if 10 is Felicity Smoke, I would say I love Willow about an 8 so far.
Okay.
I really like Willow a lot. She's by far my favorite, and we'll see where it goes from there. But right now, she's definitely my favorite.
Cool. And then speaking of one of the other ladies, Cordelia, she's... Okay, first of all, her fake laugh in this episode killed me, and
oh,
not
God.
In a good way. Like,
oh my God.
Especially rewatching it a couple of times, it got old really fast. No, please don't do that. But yeah, other than that, Cordelia she was kind of awkward in this episode too, and I like seeing that side of her a lot. She plays it off as, you know, being the queen bee and everything, but she's kind of weird too, which makes me wonder, you know, why she hasn't kind of fallen in line with the group prior to this. And even Buffy, who is pretty cool herself and yet can be kind of awkward. But Ariana, I know you have a lot of feelings about Cordelia.
Well, I just thought it was so clear that, like, Buffy is naturally cool. Like, she can just, she just is, like, cool. And I think that that was so clear when the college guys came and, you know, they were super drawn to Buffy because she has that cool aura. And Cordelia, like, tries so hard to be cool. And that passes in high school, but I don't think it's going to work for very much longer because she's a very clearly a huge dork.
Yeah. Definitely. Caitlin, how do you feel about Cordelia up until this point?
It's so interesting to me the way, like, she starts out seeming like she's gonna be super intimidating and this awful foe in the social life for Buffy, and then especially this season, the more we've seen of her, just the more she's been humanized and just is like, actually, she's just a normal teenager as well and is as awkward as everybody else. And she is just trying so hard to come out on top. And it's, I think it does a lot for her and makes her a lot more likable by just making her more human.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Absolutely. This episode, though, and Caitlin, I know you're here with me, had a lot of feelings about Giles, especially his relationship with Buffy. I think, like, obviously he's being really hard on her. And Kristen and I were having a little bit of a conversation about this last night, in that it's clear that he's doing this to protect her and to give her the skills to survive in Sunnydale. But at the same time, you can't help but see it from Buffy's point of view, and it's like, God, you know, he's being so hard on her, and she just wants to live a normal life. And she has that line about 7 to 7:05 in the morning being her only, you know, time for herself, and you can really see that it's bringing her down. But how does this, Caitlin, further enhance your feelings for Giles?
When I think about this, I can't help going back to the Nightmares episode and the fact that his biggest nightmare is Buffy dying. And then she did die for not very long, but she did die facing the Master. So he has already faced his Slayer dying, and then he's really trying to keep it from happening permanently to where she can't come back from it. And I think just keeping in mind how protective he is of her, it makes total sense, and it makes me love him more. And I totally understand why Buffy is kind of chafing against it, but thinking about Giles, he just wants her to survive. He has a better understanding of how horrible the threats can be. So he just wants to protect her.
And then, Ariana, is there one side or the other that you can kind of understand a bit more? Or do you see where they're both coming from?
I mean, I feel like every episode is Buffy being like, I don't want to be the Slayer anymore. I just want to be a regular teen. And I... Which, I mean, I understand, because she's very young. She's a child still. But, I mean, I guess that means that Giles should, like, give her some designated me time, maybe every week, where she can unwind a little bit.
That's not in a graveyard. Yeah, that's probably...
Yeah, before she has a mental breakdown.
Kristen, do you have any other thoughts on this?
This basically, our little conversation stemmed from Karen loving on Giles and me being like, I like Giles, but I don't love him yet, because while I like him, he's a good guy, and you can tell he genuinely cares for Buffy. But, like, at the same time, he's the reason she doesn't get to experience, like, the normal teenage thing. Like, she might be able to fit it in with all of her extra Slayer duties, but he always wants her to be practicing. And while we know why he wants that, I can't help but feel bad for Buffy, because she just wants to be able to go to the dance, and she wants to be able to go on a date. And it's not like she's asking for it every night, but he doesn't seem to want her to have any sort of life. And that makes it tough for me to, like, full on just love Giles, because I can see it from Buffy's point of view that, yeah, he's being overprotective and he's kind of a nuisance sometimes, but he does mean well. Like, you can't dislike him. So, I mean, I'd like Giles. I really do. But I just wish he'd lighten up a little bit.
Giles, lighten up?
Yeah, right.
That's asking a lot. That is a good point, though. That definitely is a good point, especially coming from a newbie. All right, let's get into kind of the crux of this episode, which is Cordelia and Buffy going to the frat party. So I think we can all agree that they're gross, that all those boys are gross. And look, I'm sure there are some good frats out there. I haven't met any, but that's fine. Hazing, though? Not funny. Not cool. I felt so bad for Xander.
I will never understand that. Like, I don't understand how, like, laughing at someone is fun. I don't know. Unless you're a psychopath. Like, that doesn't register.
Well,
but
I mean, clearly,
that's, like, the whole point of hazing.
Yeah, a few of them were psychopaths, so...
Yeah.
I actually really liked how Buffy was like, oh no, you know, I don't want to drink kind of thing, because I think Cordelia tries, like you were saying, tries so hard, and she's like, yeah, totally, I'm going to do this. And Buffy kind of has, like, she's confident enough in herself and realizes that, you know, she's only 16 and she doesn't know these people and maybe it's not a good idea, and she doesn't want to drink anything until she's kind of manipulated into doing that. And then everything turns terrible. So hopefully this was a lesson learned for her.
Stranger danger, Buffy. Stranger danger.
Yes.
Like, you just don't drink things that you don't see made, and you don't take them from strange boys that you met on the stairs at school. Just no.
Excellent. Excellent advice, Kristen.
And then we kind of hop out of this part for a little bit to go back to Willow, who was absolutely incredible in this episode. And I'm just going to say right now that this was my favorite scene, when she goes off on Giles and Angel, because she gives them this whole speech and she's like, look, you're putting so much pressure on Buffy. On the one hand, she's got her Slayer duties and she's trying so hard to be a good Slayer, and yet she just wants to be, you know, a regular teenage girl. On the other hand, she really likes Angel and Angel likes her. I mean, that's obvious. They definitely have feelings for each other and the other one knows that. And yet, he keeps pushing her away. It's no wonder that she ran off tonight and wanted to go do something new and kind of be with a boy that was giving her attention and stuff like that. Willow, I always like when she has these really strong moments that aren't usual for her, because she's fairly meek and mild-mannered, and she kind of goes along with everything that's happening, but she just has had enough. She's really worried about Buffy, and she kind of puts everyone in their place. So, Caitlin, how satisfying was that to see?
Oh, so good. I love it. And it's kind of interesting that this comes after, like, Willow was the one to berate Buffy for lying to Giles about it in the first place. So she's sort of being like, you know, you're my friend. I think you made a bad choice here. But the choice having been made, I'm going to support you and recognize where you're coming from and stand up for you to the people who are putting too much stress on you to make you make the choice in the first place. And it's just so good. Somebody needs to say it. And coming from Willow, who is the most unexpected source, kind of probably makes it hit home harder than it would if it was coming from anybody else. Because it's like, oh my God, Willow is yelling at the vampire and the watcher. And like, if she is yelling at it, clearly there is something here. So coming from her, I think it's the most powerful.
I agree. Anyone else have any other feelings about that?
Willow's whole little speech there is my favorite line, so I think that says just how much I loved it. Plus, I mean, Willow, come on, just love her.
She's pretty great. And then as we get into the final part of this episode, I want to talk about the fact that Buffy was able to save herself. She didn't really need the backup. But this kind of goes into another point, in that Xander's always trying to protect and save Buffy, but has he not realized yet that she really doesn't need it? Like, she's kind of a superhero. She has super strength. She knows how to fight vampires and other creatures. She has battle training. What does he think he's going to be able to do that she can't?
I know, like, at least, like, when Angel shows up or even Giles shows up, like, they have useful skills. Mm-hmm. But, like, Xander is just a kid with, like, no basic martial arts training. So, I don't know.
It's just always really frustrated me in this episode how he's like, yeah, I'm going after Buffy, and he goes alone, and it's like, what did you think was going to happen? This isn't going to turn out well for you.
To be fair, they didn't have cell phones, so he couldn't be like, hey guys, can you come help me?
How did they even survive?
I know, that's what I was thinking when Buffy was standing there by herself at the party. I was like, oh, she looks like such a loser. She just didn't have a cell phone to, like, keep her, pretend like she's talking to someone.
Yeah, so what did you guys think, to newbies, in the end, about, I honestly forgot his name, the good guy frat boy turning out to be, like, the leader?
There's a good one?
Well,
which one?
There was a better one. A less gross one with not as good hair.
Who was it? Was it the one that asked out Cordelia or the one who asked out Buffy?
The one who asked out Buffy.
Oh, really? I thought he was the scariest one because he was the nice one, right?
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, he turned out to be the worst, and yet prior to that, he was actually kind of charming.
Those are the ones you have to watch out for.
I know. But I thought that was a good twist. All right, let's get into our favorite scenes. As I said before, mine was Willow going off on Giles and Angel. So I will pass it off to Caitlin.
So mine was the very end of the episode when Angel comes up to Buffy at the Bronze and is like, I hear this place serves coffee. We should get some sometime. Like, so awkward. And she's like, I'll let you know, which is so great. And then she kind of walks away and she has that smile on her face. Oh, I love it. They're still awkward, but she's still in control of the situation, which I just love.
That's really satisfying. Ariana, do you have one?
Yeah. So I thought it was really great. Well, not great, but typical. When the boys, everybody comes to save Buffy, and the boys rush in, and they're like, ah, must kill things! Because they can't think, and Willow was like, hey, focus! And she brought them back. Typical men-women dichotomy there. But also, props, I want to give a shout-out to Cordelia hugging Angel, because that was hilarious.
Yeah. Kristen?
Mine is the whole scene with the reptile boy, mainly for Cordelia, like, just yelling the whole time. I just thought it was hysterical that everyone else, they're just kind of standing around and she's going, tell me, what's happening? What comes next? Like, she's just like, she just won't shut up. Like, she just can't be quiet. And I loved that whole bit. It was just great.
If I was her in that moment, I would be like Buffy, like, time to bust out the superpowers. Like, what are you doing?
So let's jump into favorite lines. Mine was at the end too, when Giles says, the words let that be a lesson are a tad redundant at this juncture. And I just love that Giles didn't feel the need to kind of pin that on her again after everything that happened. Like, he realizes that she has kind of learned her lesson and that he also was being hard on her, which, Caitlin, that jumps right into your quote.
Yes, mine was the line right after when he says, I drive you too hard because I know what you have to face. From now on, no more pushing, no more prodding, just an inordinate amount of nudging. And Buffy's little smile in response to that is so good.
Yeah, I love that because he realizes what he did wasn't the greatest, but he also still realizes that I'm the watcher and, you know, I have to nudge you. Like, this is literally my job. And so they're kind of setting parameters at this point, and both of them are kind of coming to a middle ground, and I really enjoyed seeing that.
I mean, literally, she went to a party and there was a giant reptile boy. So, like, he obviously has a point.
Yeah, definitely. Ariana, what was your favorite line this episode?
Mine was at the end after everything is over and Cordelia telling her truths was just like, you guys, I just hate you guys. The weirdest things always happen when you're around.
That's the show in a nutshell.
Yeah. I love the way she says it, too. The way that her, like, she whines and stuff is just so funny.
She just got eaten, or practically got eaten, by a giant snake. I think I would feel the same way. Like, why do I have to be around these people?
And then, Kristen, what was yours?
Mine is Willow's whole little speech to the boys, and it goes a little something like this. Well, why do you think she went to that party? Because you gave her the brush off. And then she kind of looks at Giles and says, and you never let her do anything except work and patrol. And I know she's the chosen one, but you're killing her with the pressure. I mean, she's 16 going on 40. And then she looks at Angel and says, and you, I mean, you're going to live forever. You don't have time for a cup of coffee. Okay, I don't feel better now. And we've got to go help Buffy. I just love the Angel bit of that, especially. Like, you're going to live forever. You don't have time for a cup of coffee. It's just genius. Like, oh, Willow, how I love thee.
I love that she's not afraid to, like, yell at the vampire.
Yeah.
Both of them tower over her. Like, she's this, you know, she's so much smaller than them, and to just have her alone with them yelling at them was genius.
And they both kind of cower in response, like, oh, you're kind of right, aren't you?
Oh, that served. I also like the line, she's 16 going on 40, because I think it's so true. Like, yeah, she's 16, and we do see her immaturity a lot, but think of all the things she's been through and all the things she's done, too. Like, she has all this life experience that she shouldn't have at 16, and yet there it is. And that just must be hard for her to balance, too. All right, we're going to jump into episode 6, Halloween Now, which is a pretty big episode in the Buffyverse. So the synopsis goes, in this episode, Buffy feels threatened by Cordy and Angel's ridiculous chemistry, so she slips into a cheap-ass dress and ends up trapped as an 18th century noblewoman when Giles's arch-enemy casts a Halloween spell. Meanwhile, Xander is a soldier and Cordelia is not a cat, but it's up to Willow to take charge while Buffy's spell is broken. Ariana, I want to jump to you first because you said that this episode really changed your mind about the show, so I'm assuming you loved it.
I really enjoyed it. I wouldn't say loved. I very much enjoyed it. I think I wrote down, this is the best episode yet, maybe because Buffy isn't boring and Xander isn't terrible. So, like, maybe I just wanted to be a show with Angel, Cordelia, and Willow hanging out, which is probably true. Yeah, I mean, I loved getting to see everybody's, like, role reversals. I thought it was super charming.
And Kristen?
I liked this episode. There was a bit of talk-up about this episode. I mean, let's face it, we can't avoid that. So I knew it was going to be somewhat, like, intense, but it's an interesting concept I had never seen. I mean, I've watched a bunch of Supernatural shows. I've never seen one where people's Halloween costumes, like, made them real. So it's an original idea, which I really liked.
And I love the idea, too, that, like, nothing happens on Halloween.
Yeah, that's great.
I always go back to that. Like, whenever I'm thinking about it, I'm like, in Buffy, this would be, like, the quietest day of the year. And I just think that's a really cool concept.
Even Spike is like, Halloween? Nothing happens on Halloween.
Day off, woohoo. This episode is really rewatchable for me. What about you, Caitlin? Is this one of your faves?
One of my all-time faves. I watch this every year on Halloween.
Yeah, it's great for that. Or any time of the year, because it's just an excellent episode. Okay, so yeah, let's talk about Cordelia and Angel for a little bit. Do you guys feel like
they're in love?
Okay, no, but Are they really shippable? Like, do you think that Angel also likes her? Or do you feel like he finds her annoying?
No, I think he wishes he found her annoying.
This is Zutara 2.0.
Yes, exactly. You're not crushing this one, Caitlin. We've still got 7 seasons, and probably there's a spinoff somewhere with their kids where they could come back. So So I like Buffy. I just think that her and Angel are so boring. I'm so tired of the brooding, and I like Cordelia and Angel. I think that they work well together. They're funny. The only times we've seen him smile are literally with her, and he thought her stupid joke was hilarious, and it was not.
Kristen, how do you feel about them?
I mean, I don't think Angel actually has any feelings for Cordelia. I think she's fine to, like, sit and talk to while waiting for Buffy, but I don't think he's, you know, I don't think he really even sees her. She's just, you know, another person. She's kind of a part of the team, so she's fine, but who knows?
And I also wonder if this dichotomy between them stems from the fact that Cordelia doesn't know that Angel is a vampire, and he feels like he can kind of be this other person around her rather than, oh my god, you know, Slayer and vampire falling in love kind of thing. Caitlin, do you feel like that could be a part of it?
I don't know. I think he's mostly just bemused by her. Like, I would say, like, he was laughing at her joke, like, kind of uncomfortably. Like, I'm in this position and I'm too polite to walk away from this.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was an open-mouthed laugh. I was like, dang, that is a big laugh. That joke did not deserve it.
And it didn't reach his eyes, so I'm just saying. I thought it was more of a bemused thing than anything. And she's sort of a friend of Buffy in that she's always being pulled into the whatever is going on, so he kind of lumps her in with people that should be protected or whatever. But I don't think he, like, sees her as anything but a high school girl around Buffy.
It must be nice for him, though. He's so broody and intense that I'm sure most people don't necessarily go up, like, approach him. So the fact that Cordelia is not afraid of him and is, you know, trying to get in his pants, basically, it's got to be a nice change for him. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I'll agree to that. And also, as soon as Buffy shows up, he is out of there. Like, he spots her and he's like, Buffy, and he gets up and walks over to her. And, I mean, I'm not shooting anything down for you, Ariana. I do see that they have chemistry and everything, but I don't know. Maybe, I guess this is what Zutara feels like on the other end, on the other side.
Oh, but after Buffy leaves and Cordelia comes and she's like, do you want a cappuccino? He takes the cappuccino.
Yeah, he does.
He does.
Okay. Well, one other ship I guess we could probably all get behind, I would hope, is Giles being super cute about, you know, thinking Ginny called him a babe, which where he was like, I just love hearing the word babe come out of his mouth. It's so awkward, but it's lovely.
That whole scene is amazing where Buffy is distracting him.
Yes.
And Willow's gestures back at her as she's like shaking her head at her, like, don't go there. Like, it's just great.
She was like, oh, that was a low blow, Buffy.
And when she does, she just, like, hangs her head, like, ugh, he went there.
And then, we're just gonna keep going through all these different ships. You know, some canon, some not. But one that definitely is Spike and Drusilla, who, wow, they really love each other in kind of a crazy person way, which is fine for them, but I think this is an interesting topic because they are soulless. Vampires are soulless. Like, that's the basis of their being. And yet, they still love each other very deeply. It's weird to think about, but somehow it works for them.
I don't think I understand how this works.
I mean, I don't know if we're supposed to. What is love? Ariana, can you ever understand it?
I mean, I kind of feel like it should be connected to your soul, because if your soul is like your basic feelings, then I guess I just don't understand what it means on the show. Like, cause I feel like generally your soul is like what makes you you. So
yeah,
then,
if it's just connected to your body, it's lust, not love.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't understand.
Do you have any explanation for this, Caitlin?
I want to know commented.
Okay. We can go there then.
These are not helpful.
Yeah. Guess you'll just have to keep watching. But I don't know. Spike and Drusilla, like, they're just really weird together, but I kind of love it. I just love the crazy pantsness of them.
I know everyone, like, loved Drusilla in the last episode, but I kind of feel like she gets on my nerves.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How come?
She's so, like, helpless and weird. Like, I don't know. When she shows up, she's just like, oh, baby, and like, oh, and he has to treat her like a baby, and that frustrates me.
That's understandable. Kristen, do you have any thoughts on them yet?
The way Drusilla talks drives me crazy. Because
yes,
it's not always in full sentences. It's not always a whole thought. It's just strange. And it's sometimes hard to follow. Most of the time, you know, it's not too bad. But yeah, she kind of drives me nuts. As far as her and Spike's relationship, there's something else going on there. They're not just both vampires, because she's got this ability to kind of know things that she shouldn't be able to know if she was just a vampire. So I'm assuming that there's something else in play that maybe is why they can quote unquote love each other, because it certainly seems like they have some sort of like emotional attachment.
Maybe he doesn't even love her, Kristen. Maybe he's just using her for her special powers.
Which is totally possible.
Caitlin, are you annoyed by Drusilla and her voice? That's actually one of the things I love most about her.
I mean, I'm so used to her that it's hard not to. I think it also kind of just comes back to that shows us the way her brain is working. Like, I don't think she sees things in complete thoughts or complete ideas, which is why she doesn't express them that way. So she's kind of expressing what she's experiencing, and if it's not a complete idea, she's not going to express it that way.
And I'm pretty sure if I said, why doesn't she have full thoughts, you would probably not be able to answer that.
Hashtag no comment.
That's what I thought. Yeah. Okay.
Very cool. Good. All right. Well, the main part of this episode is that the team goes to Ethan's, which is a Halloween shop, and they all pick out their various costumes. And obviously, Buffy spots this dress, which, surprisingly, Ariana, you didn't like the dress. I thought the dress was beautiful.
No, it's so ugly. I didn't like that. Okay, it's a nice costume dress. It's fine for like a dress you would buy at Target for Halloween. But she's like, oh my god, it's so beautiful. And it's not. It's got like those cheap little flowers. I mean, even if they had just taken off those stupid, ugly little flowers at the top. It looks like the dress you would buy like at Disneyland for your child.
That's rough.
Ouch, I love that dress.
Yeah.
Maybe so I like cheap things, but I like that dress.
And I think a big reason why Buffy falls in love with it is because of this idea that Angel will like it, which obviously is kind of superficial, but definitely a contributing factor.
Yeah, she's 16. She's still trying to feel out this relationship or potential relationship, and she doesn't know a lot about him. Like, she says, like, he's not an abundance of oversharing, so she's still trying to do a lot of feeling out.
Kristen, what did you think about it?
I think the only issue I had, it's a pretty dress, especially for a costume, because a lot of those are chintzy, and it at least had, like, the full hoop skirt thing going on. But the pink, if it had been, like, white in the middle, I think it would have looked a little fuller, maybe. I don't know. The pink bothered me a little bit, but I liked it. I thought it was cute.
Obviously, after this, everybody kind of turns into their costumes, which is really not a good thing in Buffy's case, because she turns into this damsel in distress who really can't do anything. And I think, at least for me, I don't want to speak for everybody, but I think that this is a huge reason why I like this episode, not only because we later find out that Angel, like, really didn't like those kind of girls anyway, but just seeing Buffy in that role and seeing other people having to save her as a one-off episode was really interesting. But Caitlin, is Buffy's role reversal a big reason why you like this episode, or is it something else?
I really do like that, because it's just, it's so unexpected, because she's always so strong, so seeing her in such an opposite role, but then it lets other people, particularly Willow, shine, and which, of course, you know, she starts the episode as the ghost, and she ends up having to take a leadership role and finds confidence by the end. And I think that's important for the other characters to really get their own experience in leadership of the group, because it just makes them more valuable to the team as a whole.
Yeah, completely agree. Ariana, I know you find Buffy kind of boring most of the time, but did this change any thoughts about her for you?
Yeah, I think the reason I find her boring is because it seems like things come so easily to her. I mean, obviously she's like a superhero, but it just seems like she's always got it under control, and so I never feel like super worried for her. But this was nice, because it was nice to see like the humans, like the most human humans, have to try and deal with all this mania. So that was kind of exciting.
And then Kristen?
Yeah, I quite liked it, especially Willow's line, like, why couldn't she have dressed as Xena? Like you can tell that Willow, while able, and she kind of, when she realizes she has to take the reins, is able to do it and does it well. But you can tell she just would prefer not to have to deal with it. It's like, dang it, Buffy, God, why couldn't you have picked something a little more helpful? And yeah, so I liked it overall, yeah.
Cool. And yeah, let's talk about Willow and actually Xander and Cordelia too, because the three of them end up together. They obviously don't have any superpowers. Willow can't really do anything except for walk through walls. And Xander has his gun, but he can't really use it because those are real people underneath the spell or whatever. And Cordelia is just Cordelia. But at the same time, especially Willow, you know, she takes charge, and there are a couple of comments about, you know, who put her in charge and that sort of thing, but she knows she has to get stuff done, and she immediately goes to Giles to figure out how to stop it, and it's just, it was really nice that the role reversals kind of continued for everybody, especially because we get that scene in the beginning with Xander, where Buffy kind of has to swoop in and save him, and in the end, you know, he is kind of the muscle in this episode, and he is very capable of taking care of himself, which I thought was cool.
One question, I guess. It's kind of a question as to whether or not this is a plot hole. Xander didn't buy his costume at the costume shop. He only bought the gun. So should he have become the soldier?
He still bought the gun at the shop, though, and so I think it would still, like, technically count for the spell.
Okay. I was just curious. It didn't occur to me until the second time we watched it, and I'm sitting there going, wait a minute, Cordelia didn't buy her costume there, so she didn't turn into a cat. So I was like, should he have turned into an army dude, whatever? But okay, I buy it. It's totally cool.
Willow kind of does a 180 in this episode, in that she starts off in this, you know, hot leather skirt outfit and her belly showing and her hair's all done up, and she's very different and she's very uncomfortable with it. And even though Buffy is like, you look great, like, let's go do this, the boys are gonna love you, she puts on the ghost costume, which makes me wonder what she would turn into if she hadn't been wearing that ghost costume. Well, those were just regular clothes, so I guess she wouldn't have changed into anything.
Yeah, what exactly was that costume?
I don't know.
I know, I was like, are you like, is it like Streetwalker? Like, I don't understand what your costume is.
When I went to grab my quote, someone described it as a rocker look. And I was like, okay, maybe she's like a 90s pop star, maybe?
Okay, I could see that. They totally dress like that.
Yeah. And it made sense. Other than that, I had no idea what it was.
Should have given her a microphone or something.
Yeah.
But I could totally see that, yeah.
While all this is happening, obviously she has no choice but to walk around in that costume. And I think it gives her a little bit of confidence, especially after going up against all these, like, demon children and all the other things that they have to face throughout the episode. It kind of doesn't seem like a big deal anymore. And so she throws the costume in the trash and, you know, goes on her way in this costume feeling very confident. And I just love the small steps of development in her personality, and that, like, yeah, a lot of the time she is very meek and everything, but she's slowly learning to kind of come into her own. And it's really gratifying to see that take place every couple of episodes and have it not be, okay, this is the instant switch kind of thing.
One of my favorite things in this episode is how Xander, as the soldier, immediately starts taking orders from her, just because she has, like, the tone and the authority. As a soldier, he would respond to someone with that air of authority. So the fact that she has it and gets, like, because he is essentially a soldier, and he just immediately starts taking orders from her, which I think shows what's really in her, and is part of that confidence boost at the end.
Yeah, it's great. And kind of on the flip side of her story, we have Oz seeing her in this outfit. Ariana, your thoughts on this make me extremely happy, so will you please elaborate?
We just haven't seen any of him at all. He just shows up, like, in little snippets, and I remember after he showed up the first time, I went and I looked up the next episode, which was the frat boy, and I was like, oh, I hope he's on there, but he wasn't, and I was like, ugh. But I was excited he was back again. I just love so much that he's, like, into Willow because she's who she is, because she's the kind of girl who would wear an Eskimo costume when everyone else is wearing, like, a skimpy hula costume.
I love her Eskimo costume.
I know, so, it was cute!
Yeah, and the fact that he likes her in that and then sees this girl again, and I don't think he knew that it was the same girl, but he sees, you know, another girl and's like, you know, who is that girl? Like, it's just, it's so cute.
I definitely think he thinks it was the same girl.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
Because the way he stresses it, he's like, who is that girl? In the way that's like, I saw her once before.
Oz is seeing her in all these different roles, you know, as the Eskimo, completely covered up. And then as this, like, rocker, whatever she is, like, barely covered up, and the different instances that he sees her, I mean, obviously they bump into each other when she's a ghost and he doesn't realize that it's her, but he must just be like, who is this person? Like, what does she do? What is she like? She seems so varied and different, and I just love the fact that he's super into that.
I guess I just assumed that because of the Eskimo look, and, like, I wasn't sure if he actually saw her face here. I figured there was no possible way he could have thought it was the same person. Like, just in my brain, I was just like, oh, there's, you know, this must be someone else. Like, how he's only seen her, he's never even met her. So if he does know that both people were the same person, that makes me even happier.
Yeah, it's pretty cute. I really like that part, and that he keeps kind of jumping into her storyline in all these different instances, and he's just very confused, but definitely intrigued.
He has that little great scene with Cordelia, too, when she's talking about Deb. He's like, so what am I supposed to tell him? She's like, nothing. Duh. So confused by it. It's so good.
I love that he's, like, really intelligent, and sometimes he says things that are, like, a little, like, stoner boy kind of thing, because he definitely has that type of personality, but he can keep up with the best of them, and Cordelia is just, like, being ridiculous, and he kind of goes along with it. He's a really chill dude, but he's like, wow, why can't I meet a nice girl like that? Okay, let's get into my favorite part of the episode, because I am so curious about this. So, Giles meets up with Ethan, and he sends Willow away. So there's no witnesses to what actually happened, but Ethan calls Giles Ripper. Newbies, theories right now.
He's Stefan Salvatore. That's my theory.
I can confirm that is incorrect.
I mean, I have no idea what a Ripper could be besides what I know from Vampire Diaries. Like, that definition of it has made so much sense that that's what immediately comes to my brain. Since he's a watcher, to be known as the Ripper, like, it makes me wonder if he used to tear up books or something, because it's the only other ripping I can think of that makes any sort of sense. So clearly I have no idea.
What did you guys think about seeing this other side of Giles, where clearly he was beating up Ethan and being a little cruel about it? I mean, he was, like, cleaning off his glasses and then kicking him in the stomach. And that's a very different side of Giles.
Clearly they have history. Something has happened between them. Things definitely didn't seem to have ended happily. I'm guessing Ethan knew this was Giles' territory because he didn't seem surprised when Giles showed up. So my guess is that he's kind of antagonizing Giles, and he may have deserved the beating he got. I have no idea other than that.
Ariana, do you have any other theories?
I mean, I'm guessing he probably kills a lot of people, or has killed a lot of people, because, well, I, like Kristen said, the only thing I can think of is Stefan on the Vampire Diaries, who's called the Ripper because he kills so many people. So yeah, that's my only theory. I don't have any good ones.
Okay, that's cool. I mean, at this point, we really don't know, like, anything, but in the end, he leaves a note that says, be seeing you. Are you guys hoping he'll come back to kind of, like, finish the storyline, I guess? Or do you think that was just, like, a one-off?
I'd like Giles to have, like, a mysterious backstory. That would be kind of cool.
I don't necessarily care about Ethan, but if him returning and Buffy having to come up against him and Giles having to explain their history, that would be really interesting. I would like to know more about how Giles came to be the Watcher and, like, how the training for that and all of that came about. Since we know a bit about the Slayer, but we don't really know how the Watcher comes to be and, like, how it's chosen and all of that stuff.
It would be interesting to see Buffy have to fight Giles if he gets triggered into the Ripper mode.
I think it's interesting that you guys think a Ripper is a thing and it's not just a nickname, because that was This is my first impression of it the first time I watched it. It was just a nickname.
I think that's probably, like, the Vampire Diaries.
Yeah. I mean, Ripper is kind of a nickname for Stefan on TVD, but it's also a thing. Like, you can be a Ripper. It's a version of a vampire that just can't control themselves. So, yeah, it does kind of lend itself to being more than just a nickname, if you've heard that term before.
Caitlin, do you have anything to add about this end scene between Giles and Ethan that's outside the no comment round?
I think it would be cool to see Ethan again because he brings out a side of Giles that we haven't seen before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I mean, if it furthers his story, you know, that would definitely be a plus. Plus, like, I don't know, he's kind of charismatic. Like, he's gross and weird and obviously did terrible things, but he really liked needling Giles even when he was beat up and bloody, and I think that's interesting. He didn't cower, he didn't necessarily fight back physically, but he had some things to say verbally. All right, let's jump right into our favorite scenes. This one had a lot of them for me, but I would have to say that when Willow walks through the wall and, like, Giles is so scared that note cards go all over the place. It makes me laugh so much. Caitlin?
I had such a hard time choosing. I was watching and I was like, this one's favorite. No, wait, this one. No, wait, this one. So I ended up with when the spell finally breaks and Spike, like, comes up and is holding the wig and Buffy's just like, hi, honey, I'm home, and beats the crap out of him. Like, it's so good.
God, I love that line. Like, I know it's so cheesy, but it's perfect.
I think it's better because it's so cheesy.
Yeah, I agree.
Speaking of cheesy, my favorite is when Angel couldn't stop laughing at Cordelia's stupid dad joke about the leather seats. But I really want to give props to Cordelia in this episode because I feel like she, whenever there's a major crisis, I'm super impressed with how she keeps her cool. Like, even when Buffy was, like, going nuts, she wasn't dismissive of her. She was like, okay, it's okay. Angel's a good vampire. So she's like, she keeps her cool, which I appreciate. But both her and Willow did a good job.
I think she was being a little patronizing there. And I do like Cordelia, but I almost think that Cordelia doesn't take this seriously. Like, she doesn't get the gravity of the situations that she's often put in. She kind of, clearly she's seen some things, like the giant monster at the end of season one and reptile boy, but it almost feels like she doesn't get it yet, and it kind of frustrates me that she can be so, I don't know what the right word is for that, but she just doesn't understand the gravity of the situation. Does anybody else feel that way?
Yeah, because before she's like, Angel is a nice vampire, she was clearly still not believing that Angel is a vampire. Mm-hmm. She kind of turns to him, she's like, she has this thing where she thinks that you're, okay, whatever, I'm just going to say he's a nice vampire and that'll make her feel better. So, like, she's not quite all there with it yet.
But, like, even with the Frankenstein, like, when she was caught with the Frankenstein guy and he was, like, ready to torture her, she was, like, trying to barter with him, which I mean, I really admire people who, in a crisis, don't freak out. They, like, look for a solution, which I think that in the moment, like, for her, she's like, what's the easiest thing to make this work? Okay, Buffy, he's a nice vampire. Like, let's go on. Let's get through this. So that's what I like about her.
Yeah, I will agree, because Buffy can be that way, be so calm and everything, because she has the power to back it up. Whereas Cordelia is completely human. And so the fact that she can stay calm and think logically in order to do that is definitely a really important trait in her, I think. Okay, Kristen, what's your favorite scene?
We've kind of already talked about it, but when Willow sneaks into Giles' office and Buffy is distracting him and telling him about the whole babe thing, and it's just great. Willow's reactions, like, to Buffy, it slayed me. Because it's not necessarily... I didn't even... Okay, yeah, that was accidental punnage. Anyway, it's just a really great scene all around, and love it, love it, love it.
And then favorite lines, mine's pretty easy. It's just, who is that girl? Because whenever I think of Oz and Willow, I come back to this scene. I don't know why, but this one just really sticks out in my head as being, like, important. And I don't get it, but I just love the idea that Oz is like, God, I really need to figure out who this girl is because she seems interesting.
And he should just get out of his car and ask her.
Yeah, I agree. Also, okay, this is totally random, but I noticed it during the first rewatch that I did, and I really need to know, Caitlin, maybe you have an answer for this. It's really random. He's driving on the other side of the car. Like, that's not where the steering wheel should be. Why?
My gosh, didn't even notice that.
Why is he driving in, like, a car from the UK or something like that?
Okay. Random thought. That was like a Volkswagen van, wasn't it?
Mm. Think so.
Yeah, it was.
So if so, in that case, it's German, so maybe it was just made the wrong way? I don't know why he'd be driving it in the U.S., but, you know, maybe he got it cheap.
Imported or something.
Or some random rich person imported it a while back, and he just bought it cheap from the junkyard.
He's such a hipster. He, like, asked for it on the other side.
That's gotta be it. That's
Oz is a hipster before it's cool to be a hipster.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Anyway, that was random. Caitlin, what's your favorite line?
Mine is in the bathroom when Buffy and Willow are trying to tell Cordelia that, like, Angel's a vampire. Maybe you shouldn't get involved in this. And she goes, look, Buffy, you may be hot stuff when it comes to demonology or whatever, but when it comes to dating, I'm the slayer. I'm just like, oh, she's so ridiculous and trying too hard.
I know. I'm like, that's not even true, Cordelia.
I know, she's like always dating someone different in the next episode, so clearly she's actually not very good at it.
Shout out to her outfits, though. I like it when she has this like preppy look. It looks really good on her.
I mean, everything looks good on her. She's so pretty.
That's true. That is definitely true.
Very true.
Adriana, what's your favorite line?
Mine was when Willow was telling them they have amnesia. And then Xander's like, do you think we do? And Buffy goes, I don't know what that is, but I'm certain I don't have it. I bathe quite often.
And Kristen?
Mine actually comes from Spike, and it's in that little scene with Drusilla. Drusilla says, do you love my insides? The parts you can't see? And Spike says, eyeballs to entrails, my sweet. That's why I've got to study this Slayer. Once I know her, I can kill her. And once I kill her, you can have your run of Sunnyhill. Eyeballs to entrails thing. I just didn't catch it the first time we watched it. So yesterday when I actually heard the line and like caught on to it, I was like, oh my God, that is ridiculous. And I, you know, if this is what I can expect from Spike, I have a feeling I will very, very much like him. So
it's a really good description of their relationship that he likes her eyeballs to entrails.
Yeah. And I also loved him calling it Sunny Hell, which is,
yeah.
Which is awesome.
He's a funny one, that Spike. All right, well, that wraps up this episode. As usual, contact information is as follows. You can contact us via email at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at re_watchable. This post on hiveable.com or any of our Buffy-centric posts. You can also find us on rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. As usual, we also ask that if you like our podcast, please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. We really appreciate that. And if you rate us 5 stars, then I will put a spell on you, and now you're mine.
Mwahaha.
All right, listener feedback. Let's jump right into this. Kristen, do you want to grab the first one?
Absolutely. Andrea B. at Timey Wimey Daffy says, I think I'm going to spend my day listening to At Rewatchable because Buffy. It's so fun hearing the newbie opinions. # need to rewatch Buffy. Glad you're joining us. Yay, fun. I'm enjoying Buffy, so I hope you enjoy listening to us enjoy Buffy.
I know. I've only been a newbie on Rewatchable, and people always say they like to hear our opinions because they're so wrong.
Yep, I've only ever been a newbie, too. I'm with you there.
It's really, I mean, I've been a little bit of both, and I would have to say that it's definitely harder being a super fan and having to, like, no comment the crap out of everything.
Yeah.
And it's like, I just want to be like, no, you need to love this person as much as I love this person, but I can't because that would give things away.
You could do that, I guess. Remember Gabrielle in the first episode of Veronica Mars? She was like, Logan is my favorite. Logan is the best. And we were all like, you're crazy. Logan's terrible.
Oh, Logan. How much I love you now. It's so unfair. Okay, I really want to tackle this next one, which is from Kelsey at Kelsey Hunt, who says, hey, Rewatchable, when will you stop pretending Joyce is a good mom?
I just love her delivery of this. She's so like,
and she has
a
little like okay emoji. It's pretty funny. Look, I have some issues with Joyce. I don't think she tackles things correctly, but that's kind of the point. Like, she's trying really hard. She's read the books and she's attempting to treat Buffy in a way that gets her to kind of shape up, because she has no idea what's going on. She just thinks that she has this, like, juvenile delinquent as a daughter. And no, it's not great, and obviously it kind of hinders Buffy in her Slayer, you know, career. Can you call it a career? I don't know. It's kind of a lifetime thing, so yeah. And it sucks, because I'm finding on this rewatch in particular that she's really annoying me. But I don't think that means she's a bad mom. I think in a lot of ways that means she's a good mom, but she's just kind of maybe not paying enough attention to realize that possibly something else is going on.
I don't think that she is trying to not be a good mom. Like, I think she's trying to be a good mom, but I have to agree with Kelsey. I don't think she is. That she's trying to, she's got Gilmore Girls fantasy in her head, like, that frustrates me so much, where you're like, oh no, but we're better friends than, like, mother and daughter. And I just feel like that's, she just needs to, like, if she really thinks all this crap is going on with Buffy, she needs to, like, deal with it head on and, like, not let her go out at night on a Wednesday to a club. Like, what is she expecting, that her child has such bad grades? And, like, I understand that. Or we understand, we're like, no, you're like blocking Buffy because she needs to be able to go out to do these things. But then if she put her foot down, then Buffy would have to explain why she's going out. And then she could be more supportive. And it's just frustrating to me.
I feel like this is a case of the really bad superhero trope of keeping your secret identity to protect the ones you love, when that's actually like the opposite of the effect that it has. Because, like, if Joyce knew she could help, and she would also be aware that there are things out there, and she could make herself prepared in some way. But instead, she's being left to be helpless and think that she has just a regular daughter and is trying to figure out how to relate to her daughter. Plus, let's not forget, Joyce is a single mother who recently went through a divorce, had her child kicked out of school for burning down a gym, had to start over a new business and start a new life in a new city. Like, her life isn't exactly easy. And then her daughter's constantly lying to her. Like, I think she's doing the best she can.
Yeah, I agree. This makes me really appreciate Mama McCall on Teen Wolf, though.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
Ariana, you want to take this next one?
Yes. So, Gordon at Toonie Chopper Man said, should I condemn Xander as kind of racist / bigoted, or should I call BS on an 800-year-old preserved Inca knowing perfect English? That was the Inca Mummy Girl episode, which I thought was amusing, / maybe not. I thought it was funny that Giles, like, they get the South American girl, like a 90s South American girl, and he's like, hey, can you read this Incan artifact? Like, yeah, I'm sure she knows Incan from thousands of years ago, Giles.
Yeah, I mean, there were some unfortunate leaps in that episode, but it's still fun, and turns out she could read it, so somehow we have to further the plot along. Caitlin, would you like to take this last one? Last tweet.
Sure. Janet Gutierrez at BSB Rock, which is the greatest Twitter handle ever, says, listening to the last ep and you guys are asking about the name Ampata. I have an aunt named Amparo, also Gutierrez, so the name Amparo is a legit Hispanic name.
Yeah, but that wasn't her name, Janet. It was not Amparo. Her name was Ampata. And I thought it was, the way that they were saying it, I thought it was Empata, which literally means, it means, like, a Brazilian pot pie that they sell on the streets. And I was like, why did they name for that? Did someone just go to Brazil and we're like, oh, that's nice?
Yeah, I think we were just wondering, like, because it was a dude originally named Ampata, and then, like, it comes out being a girl and no one really questions it.
So it's just, like, it's not a name in for boys or girls. It's made up. They could have just called her, like, Maria. That's a real name.
But it's not as exotic.
No, it's not. I was tweeting Natalie. I was like, considering this was like shot and written in LA, these people like really have no, like, they obviously have never interacted with a Hispanic person before, even though LA is 48% Hispanic. Like, they should have literally just gone to, like, the lady who cleans their toilets and been like, what's your name? Whatever. It was the 90s. Whatever. We're doing better now, I guess.
We are doing better. Yeah. All right, Kristen, would you like to take this comment from Hypable?
Sure. April Johnson commented and said, hey guys, I've been listening to Rewatchable since it started, and I can't tell you how excited I was when I heard you would be doing Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I have been a huge fan of the show since it started, and it's probably in my top three favorite shows of all time, right up there with Charmed.
Woo!
I love that this show, while supernatural in premise, is really at its heart a human show. It's the characters and their stories that pull you in, not necessarily the monster of the week. It's a show that really makes you question what it means to be good and to do good, and for its time, that was pretty spectacular. Anyway, I just wanted to say that I'm loving the discussion and analysis of the episodes, and I can't wait for more. Newbies, keep the theories coming, and superfans, let the no comments abound. P.S. I recently convinced a friend to start watching the show, and we came up with our very own version of Buffy Bingo to play during every episode. Spaces include such things as animal print / leather clothing, Giles consults a textbook, Cordelia is sassy, and a brooding angel appears, among others. We've had to adjust a couple of these as the seasons progress, but it adds a whole other level of fun to the episodes. Maybe something to consider for future episodes. Enjoy!
That's amazing.
That's incredible. Yeah. You should share that with us, because now I kind of want to play it.
It would be good fun.
Also want to say thank you for being around since the beginning of Rewatchable. It feels like I should have said the beginning of time, because we have been doing this for quite a long time. Also, fun fact, I saw on my phone recently that in about a week or two, it's going to be Rewatchable's third birthday.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Three years. Exciting.
That feels like
3 years and how many episodes?
147.
Yeah. It's crazy. And we're not slowing down yet, especially because we have 18 more years of Buffy to go. But yeah, I mean, that's a long time to stick around with the same podcast. And I just, you know, the nature of Rewatchable is that we change quite often, you know, shows and hosts and people kind of come and go. That's just kind of, you know, the nature of the beast. But it's awesome when people stick around and even go back if they found us later and listen to everything. We really appreciate that, because this is definitely a fun podcast to be a part of, or at least I think so. Hopefully,
I remember listening to Firefly when it came out.
Throwback Thursday.
Yeah, we might have to do something for our third birthday, you guys. I don't know what yet, though. We'll think about it. Let us know.
Yes. Leave comments. Have a party with cake.
Yes. Mm. Any suggestions for what we should do for our third birthday?
We can make cake.
Send them our way. I like cake.
I like cake, too. All right. So until next time, I'm Karen.
I'm Caitlin.
I'm Ariana.
And I'm Kristen.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Grr. Arg.